We're looking this morning at Psalm 50, so you can turn in your Bibles if you'd like to that passage of Scripture. It's rather short. For that reason, I think I'm going to read the whole Psalm here. It's on the board here, so if you'd like to just look up here. But it says, "The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above, and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull or from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right do you have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this, you who forget God, for I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God." Well, we're going to see a short movie here. I hope it works here. So that's us, right? Each of us as we go by there with the gas can. Have you ever had that experience on out on the road somewhere? Most of us have. And so we're going to think about refueling thy think tank. Changed it a little bit here, make it more like King James English, kind of one of the forgotten commandments. I think it is a commandment that we are to be thankful. We're told that many times in the Scriptures. But yet, I think because we forget, frankly. We forget our blessings. We forget to count our blessings. And so we get to be kind of grumbling people. Does that resonate with any of you? Maybe not as much as it does with me. Because I'm kind of that way. I think maybe we're that way by nature. Even as children, we forget our blessings. And we, as we grow older, we become even more ungrateful and demanding that our needs be met. And it becomes even more, you know, about us. And not, as the Bible says, to look not on our own things, but on the things of others. We sometimes forget these things. And we forget the many blessings that God has given to us. So I think the Psalms are so important here for me as I read them. To remind me of my blessings, my need to give thanks to God. And Psalm 50 is not a traditional Thanksgiving psalm, I suppose, although it does include sacrifice thank offerings to God. We're going to talk about that. But I think that it is a psalm that teaches us some things about Thanksgiving that maybe we have forgotten. So if we had a little gauge, maybe I'll get a little gauge and put up here the fuel gauge. Let's see. It usually starts on the left, right? That's when it's empty. And then it gets about a third full. Maybe we're a third full here. So let's get a little fuller of thanksgiving so that we can give thanks back to God, refueling or refilling, if you will, our thank tanks. So first of all, there are some lessons. Keys to refueling our tank. Three more. We're going to look at three more that I want to suggest to you from this Psalm 50. And the first is that we come. That's pretty obvious. Come. I mean, it's the message really of verses 1 through 6 here, where it talks about God's summons. You know what a summons is. If you've ever received a summons, you're not likely to forget that. Summons to appear in court. I mean, even those people who are not guilty, frankly, receive summons. So we all know, I think, what that is, a summons. But first of all, I want us to think about the sovereign here. The mighty one, it says, God the Lord. Now, that's a very interesting combination of names of God. I think it's the only place in the Bible where we find these three names of God put together. And it just makes me think of the Trinity, that God is a triune God. Jesus spoke of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so there is this nature of God, we know from the Bible, that God is a one God, but he is revealed in three persons, called the Trinity. Still one God. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And he said, I will come to you, when he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Father and I are one. I think he said, am one, which is grammatically incorrect. But I think he wanted to emphasize the fact that God is one, but that he is a triune God. What's so wonderful about that to me is that God did not stay in some, you know, far off part of the universe. I mean, he would seem far off to us if he was just a spirit. But he came in the flesh. The Bible says he came and dwelt among us. And then he sent forth his Spirit when he called Jesus back to heaven after his resurrection. And Jesus sent forth the Spirit to be with us forever. What a wonderful provision. If we had nothing else to be thankful for, we ought to be thankful that we have such a loving God who cares about us, who cared enough to send a Redeemer to save us from our sins. But there's a summons here. He summons us to appear before him. I can't help but think of the rapture here when I read this, how God calls. It says, our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. And it reminds me of what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:8, that Jesus will come again. First of all, he'll come for those who have made a covenant of faith with him and taking them out of this world that is going to be judged. But he will come again to this earth in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think before we realize what a wonderful God we have and how he loves us, perhaps even before we realize that, we have to realize the fact that we're sinners in God's sight, that we are worthy of his judgment, that we are worthy of his wrath upon us, because God is a holy God. So there's a summons here, a summons to appear in court. I was reading a little bit about the background of this psalm, and you may know that it probably says in your Bible that it's a psalm of Asaph. Now, interestingly, Asa is listed as Asaph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 7, I believe, in the genealogy of Jesus. I don't think it's Asa the king, though. That may be a variation of his name. But the Asaph here is a Levite, a descendant of Moses of the tribe of Gershon, and he was a songwriter, a psalm writer. He wrote many of the psalms are attributed to Asaph, but he seemed to have this kind of a darker nature than David. I mean, a dark in the sense that he was more pessimistic, maybe more focusing on the judgment of God. We need that as well. We need this knowledge that God is a holy God and that he will judge sin someday. And he summons all the earth by this invitation here, really, to come before him before this day comes, obviously. It has to be before this day comes, because he will come to judge. But it also speaks of a sacrifice. Gather together my consecrated ones, God said in verse 5, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, if you've read the rest of the psalm, you know he's not talking about the sacrifice of animals. So what is he talking about? Well, I believe he must be talking about the cross. And what God is saying here is that one day we will have to give account to what we have done with his sacrifice, the sacrifice of his son, Jesus, on Calvary. So here is the key come, but also there is the key call. Call upon me, God says, in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. That's in verse 15 there. And it's really an invitation, one of the most wonderful invitations in the Bible. I've heard many testimonies of Christians who came to Christ out of some crisis in their life. And we think, well, how tragic that tragedy has to strike before we realize that God is a God of love, and that God wants to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. But I think it's because of our human nature. Sometimes we need that trial, the tribulation that Jesus said we would have in this life. So there's a wonderful invitation here, not to blood sacrifice, but to the sacrifice of the cross, which is really the sacrifice that has already been accomplished for us. Doesn't it say here, thank offering? So thankful for what God has done for us on Calvary. So there's an invitation, an invocation, that we are to call upon his name. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble. And you may be thinking, well, I think that means every day. Frankly, there's trouble in almost every day. It's a very troubled world, isn't it? Wouldn't this be a verse that maybe God wants to speak to each human heart in this world today? I think so. Call upon me, he says, in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Make us back to the sacrifice of the cross that God has provided for us. And you will honor me or glorify me. And there are many promises that are given to us, of course, in the Bible. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find. So we have not just this passage of Scripture, but others to show that God wants us to call upon him. And there's an intervention promised. He said, I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. So what a wondrous deliverance God provides. When we acknowledge our sins, and we recognize that Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, that he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He fulfilled that Old Testament practice, bloody practice, we would probably say today, of sacrificing animals. Well, it definitely was bloody. It was really kind of ugly. And some would say maybe cruel even. Well, it just shows how terrible sin is. But God did all of that for us. Can we not be a little more thankful, realizing that? I would hope so. And we are to consider also the third key. Come, call, consider. We are to come, we are to call. And then we are to consider what God says in his word here. Consider this, he says in verse 22, you who forget God. I mean, isn't that really all of us in our natural state? We're very forgetful people. We even have a disease named for that. I suppose it's more than just being forgetful. But Alzheimer's, of course, is that terrible disease that affects the memory and other functions of the mind. But we don't need that to really be forgetful people. It's why, again, we need this reminder of God's love, how he bids us to come, how he bids us to call upon him. But then he wants to warn those here who are thinking, well, I've heard that before. I've got plenty of time. I have my life to live. I mean, I want to live my life. before I, you know, get all tied down and bound up like you Christians are. And I want to live a little bit first. Well, they don't really understand what the Christian life is, do they? But maybe that's someone here this morning that you're thinking, well, I can make my decision for Christ later. But here God gives a rebuke, first of all. He says there, but to the wicked, in verse 16, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. And it goes on and really describes our, again, the natural man, the way that we all came into this world, the natural person, if you will. How we are by nature. We have that sin nature. And I think it's true of all of us. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian isn't that the Christian is more moral, more spiritual-minded, more, a good person, we would say. But the fact that the Christian has listened to God and has responded to His voice. So this is a warning against those who will turn away from God's loving offer to call upon Him in a day of trouble. He says, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Well, He says to consider. There's a rebuke here. He says, these things of you have done, verse 21, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. And there's a revenge. And He says that, consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. Now that sounds rather severe, doesn't it? Tear you to pieces. I don't think we'd like to be torn to pieces. But He's just speaking here of the severity of the judgment of God. Now God has already given this wonderful provision of the cross. But for those who have spurned His offer of salvation, and who go on in their lives oblivious to God's call to them out of love to repent and receive the gospel, receive the good news of salvation accomplished in the cross, that there's nothing more to look forward to than God's judgment. God will have the last laugh. And again, the Bible says that Jesus will come again in flaming fire. This is 2 Timothy verse chapter 1, verse 8. Taking vengeance on those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that's not anyone here this morning. I trust that all of you have made a covenant. I believe you have, but I don't know each heart. And I just know that in every church there are those that perhaps are unsaved. And again, I don't think it's anyone here this morning. I think that we were all love Jesus. We've all made a covenant of faith with Him. So what is our response? Well, I think to urge upon others their need to make their peace with God before it's forever too late. We all have family members. We all have neighbors. We all have friends, I trust, who are unsaved, who will pass into a Christless eternity, who will be judged under the judgment of God. They will be those whom, when the Lord Jesus comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance, they will be the object of that vengeance. And it's not just a momentary judgment. It's a judgment that lasts for eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. But there's a wonderful rescue here. Even those who have found themselves in that condition. Again, I think it's all of us. Because all of us probably had heard the message numerous times, message of salvation, before we opened our heart to receive Christ. But here God says in closing, He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and He prepares the way that I may show him the salvation of God. What a wonderful God He is. That even those who have spurned His offer, if they will repent at the last moment. I think it's why we never really know. If someone has had the gospel shared with them and And yet we don't know that they've received Christ. I think there can even be some hope even at the very end of life. It's why we should not hesitate in sharing the gospel, even with those whose hearts are hard. Because frankly, that's all of was all of our hearts before we came to Christ. And sometimes we get pretty hard-hearted. Again, it's why we need to be here this morning, why we need to be here in God's presence, just to count our blessings. But more than that, just to be filled with the love of Christ and just to be have our hearts broken with the fact that it was our sins that put Jesus on the cross, made it necessary for him to suffer and die for us. But what a wonderful Savior that we have, who was not bound by death, but who rose triumphant over the grave and was raised again, the Bible says, for our justification, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And he told us to go and make disciples of all nations. We are to share this message with those that we rub shoulders with in this life.
Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too.